Blake Price from TSN 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Blake, how are you doing?
Greetings. How are you?
Oof. Jealous of the city of Vancouver and Calgary right now, because I'm sure the residents of both cities are on the edge of their couches or seats tonight awaiting the opening faceoff.
That's sort of one of the storylines for fans here in Vancouver is, how much did missing the playoffs last year make you appreciate what the playoffs are? Now, we know Flames fans will appreciate they've missed enough years in a row. They're going to come into this with, fresh heads of it all. But we are wondering aloud here how much of the nose-in-the-air sort of attitude is going to reign from Canuck Nation from the 2011 run where, it came back to bite them in successive failures to the Kings and the Sharks, 9 games in the playoffs in total over 2 seasons, because I'm not saying the fans had anything to do with it, but there still was this attitude amongst the fan bases of, tell us when the third round is here, because this is only the first. And then they, quickly got spanked and then missed the playoffs. So hopefully lessons are learned and everybody appreciates what they've got here.
Blake, for me, and I'm maybe stating the obvious, this is a coin toss. A lot of people have written off the Flames all year. So there are some of their underlying numbers aren't so good. But when you have dynamic young players like Goudreau and Monahan, and you play for the guy next to you, as much of a cliche as that is, it shows you got a chance.
It's going to be a fascinating study. It really is, because there's so much that is similar of these two teams, but they arrived at these similarities in two totally different manners. Like, goals for and against are identical. Road record and home records, almost identical. In terms of comebacks, and the Canucks lead the league in games won after giving up the first goal of the game. They've done that 21 times. The Flames have done it 20 times. They're second in the league. So, both of these teams are capable of scoring their way out of early deficits, and yet they come at it from one from youth with the Calgary Flames and one from mostly experience. Now, have there been contributions from guys like Bo Horvat? And most certainly there has been. But it's going to be interesting to see if the never-say-die attitude of kids can beat this sort of newfound never-say-die attitude of a bunch of old guys, particularly on D for the Canucks.
You look at some of the matchups, going into this series, and, Calgary, Yuri Hudler right now, and, Sean Monahan gave him a pretty solid 1-2 punch down the middle. But Hudler, of course, kind of grew up in that Detroit organization, has emerged, has always been an offensive player and a good two-way player, but took his offensive game to a new level this year, the rookie, Johnny Gaudreau. But the playoffs are a different beast, right? And Vancouver does have a lot more playoff experience on their team. Behind the bench, though, Calgary's coach has much more playoff experience. How do you deem this? I guess let's start with the coaching. Is there anything, and I know he's been around a long time, but he's different in junior than it is in the NHL as a head coach for Willie Mitchell. So what do you see as, or Desjardins, excuse me, what do you see as the area that has been lacking, if anything, behind the bench for Vancouver with him?
Well, that will sort of play itself out, I guess, because as you mentioned, Desjardins does have so much experience at the biggest games of all the other levels. Right to the AHL Calder Cup as well, the Mem Cup in junior. He's been into those high-pressure situations. I won't say that either of those are equal to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but at the time, it feels like it, right? At the time, when you're that head coach, that's the nerves are ratcheted up to the nth degree there as well. So we'll soon see. The matchup thing is going to be really interesting, and that sounds boring probably to a lot of fans who hate the idea of line matching and all that. But because of the perceived depth, and I'll say perceived just because, Calgary's got here for one reason or another. But you look on paper, and I think a lot of Canucks fans have had this trouble looking on paper and seeing, beyond the top line, which is spectacular, no doubt, for Calgary, what else are they, how else are they doing this? How else can they possibly beat this Canucks team? And it's going to be interesting to see how they try to slow down the Sedins. The Sedins have been slowed down in the playoffs previously by bigger, heavier teams like the Kings and the Sharks. But the Flames don't really have that. And at least not to the world-class level that those other two teams did. So how Hartley deploys lines against the Sedins and how Hartley is able to, you know, create enough of an attack for his top line without sacrificing. But if he goes top line on top line, does he neuter the only attack that he has? So it's going to be interesting, I think, just to see how Hartley rolls out his line.
Yeah, you're right. One thing I wonder about, though, and I would never write off the Twins. They've been terrific players for such a long time. But it's an interesting juxtaposition. The best players for Vancouver are experienced, and some would say on the downside of their careers. The best players for the Calgary Flames are the young guys who might go, wow, this is just great once the playoffs start, and don't have that experience. Is there a distinct edge when we're talking about the top three forwards and the top couple of defensemen?
Well, you know, again, it goes down to sort of that sports psychology of it, doesn't it? I mean, you're right. Is ignorance bliss? Is sort of that, you know, that March Madness almost mentality of the Flames going to win over what could be, hey, this is our last hurrah together? I mean, do the Sedins really, you know, take any year for granted from here on in? Kevin Bieksa, Dan Hamhuis. I mean, it's you know, we're not saying they're out of the league next year, but you just, as the Kings and Bruins can attest to, you just don't take any season for granted. So, you know, which is the overpowering force here? The blissful ignorance of the kids or the motivated veterans who see the end of the tunnel in the not-too-distant future?
Vancouver's had a fair amount of guys banged up. Of course, Ryan Miller just came back, played one game, and admittedly was very rusty against the Edmonton Oilers. Eddie Lack's obviously got to be the guy, I would assume, getting the start in the game tonight. But I know, you know, Cassian, Matthias, other guys have been banged up. Their blue line's banged up. Any of them do you believe are going to play with lingering injuries?
Brad Richardson will draw in tonight, I think. I would put him at 90% for tonight. Ryan Miller will dress as the backup, and really Ryan Miller is a non-starter in this series unless there is probably back-to-back floundering games for Eddie Lack. He's still not 100% back. Yeah, so Miller's a non-starter. Richardson tonight for sure. Cassian is really nowhere to be found. I mean, we can see him from time to time in and around the locker room, but he's not a factor in this series, I wouldn't suggest, unless we see a dramatic turnaround. So everybody else is all hands on deck, though. Sean Matthias missed the last two games, but he's ready to go. And as I mentioned, Richardson draws back in, which is a big boost for the Canucks because Lyndon Bay is a little bit smaller and a rookie down the middle there in the third line. So,
Blake, just bigger picture, but although it applies to this series, I don't really see a series in the first round, in the West at least, where if the lower seed wins, you go, I never saw that coming. I didn't think there was any chance. It's fairly tightly packed for a lot of different reasons this year, isn't it?
Oh, it's crazy. The underdogs don't really exist, save for, and we were almost in agreement on our show that, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning losing in the first round to Detroit would probably be considered an upset, and the Penguins somehow finding it within themselves to beat the Rangers would probably qualify. But the other series, without a doubt, fit the bill that you're talking about. And really, I mean, knowing the Canucks as well as I do over the last couple of years, I like their chances on paper. I could see them winning in five games. I could also see them losing in five games. I mean, it's impossible to forget the teams that I've seen over the last couple of years that would lose this series in five games. So, we marvel at the first round of the playoffs every single season, and this year maybe for even more reasons. It's going to be spectacular drama.
Blake, I got three quick questions for you. Who wins this series? Who's your cup finalist, and who wins the lottery?
What was the first one?
Who wins this series?
This series, I've got the Canucks in six. I think the Canucks can probably pull this out, but it is with trepidation that I make any sort of prediction on this series. The lottery, I mean, it is just that, but, the team with the best odds has not won. So I'm going to stick with that. And I'll say that there's a team further down the list that gets it. I think the Arizona Coyotes will probably end up getting it.
Okay.
And then the cup, is that what you asked me? I'll stay consistent. I'll say Chicago
Blackhawks.
Yeah.
All right, Blake, enjoy the playoffs.
Thanks, gentlemen.